We're reading Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Paul says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul's introduced some basic doctrines, some Christian doctrines that we all as Christians need to know and we need to believe and we need to practice. And he has done this in chapter 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 are a practical application of how we are to take these spiritual truths and what we are to do with them. Scripture tells us we are to practice them. Scripture tells them that we are to walk in these truths. Our Christian life is a walk. It is not standing still or sitting still in one spot. It is a progressive movement. When you make progress, you go from one point to the other, and hopefully you're making a positive progression, not a negative progression. Paul says here, and he uses the word, I beseech you, I beg you, please. It's not something that Paul can force you to do. Paul's talking about walking worthy of the calling that we've been called with. God has called us. God lives and dwells in heaven. God is a holy, sinless, pure God. And God has given us a certain set of instructions on how we are to live. He's called us. It is the voice of God speaking to us. And if you reject the voice of God, you run the possibility, as we discussed in Bible Hour this morning, of having God abandon you, God turning away from you, and allowing you to sink in your sin and spend eternity separated hopelessly from God. And so the question this morning is, are you walking worthy? Worthy means that there is a progression. Worthy means there is evidence in your life that you are a believer and that God, the Holy Spirit, is producing His fruit in your life. As Galatians chapter 5 tells us, the fruits of the Spirit are supposed to be manifest in our life as we walk. A progressive walk means that you can measure where you've been and where you have come. The goal of reading Scripture and meditating on Scripture and knowing Scripture is to practice it in your life, so that from one day to the next, you become more and more an image of Jesus Christ. So that when the world looks at us, whether they look at me or they look at us as a church, they will see Jesus Christ rather than George Kuzichev or any one of you that I might call by name. The world needs to see Jesus Christ in us, and we do that by walking worthily. And verses 2 and 3, Paul has already introduced us to a series of words that are supposed to characterize our life as Christians. Our mental attitude in verse 2, a lowly, gentle attitude, the attitude that Jesus had towards the people with whom he came in contact with. It goes on and it talks about our actions towards each other with long suffering, bearing one another in love. It's how we treat each other. It's our relationship with other Christians and in the church. Is there measurable progress in your life in these areas that Paul is teaching us from the Word of God? This is something that God calls all of us towards. It's something that we have to work on. It's not something that just happens in our life. These are qualities that God gives us power to produce in our life, but we have to work at them. We have to develop them, just like an athlete goes to the gym and he practices. When we come to church in the morning, we come down Silver Lake, and there's always people up by the lake Sunday morning practicing. Our pastor says they're running away from death. They think they're going to live forever if they exercise. But they're developing their body, they're breathing, they're exercising their muscles. Are you developing these Christian characteristics in your life? You know, what's interesting, when Paul comes to verse 3, this phrase we just read, endeavoring or trying diligently to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is the ultimate goal of what we as Christians have to be doing. That has to be the final characteristic of the church, our unity. When you take all these other characteristics, lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, or patience in other words, the love that we're supposed to have to each other, they're all together. When you put them all together, if you could take a piece of rope and tie them together, they end up uniting us. That's what Paul is saying, the unity of the Spirit. And that's what I want to focus our few minutes this morning on, this word unity. Look at 1 Corinthians for just a moment, chapter 12, verse 13. By one Spirit, this is talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Irregardless of whether we were Jewish or Gentile, slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. The church is described in the body as one single organism. One body, one organization, even though it's made up of many individual members. Just like your body, it's got one head, one brain. It's got many different cells that make up your body. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the same thing. Jesus was very concerned about this word unity. On the day before he was crucified, which we celebrated last week, Good Friday and Easter, when Jesus rose again. In John 17, during the Last Supper, as Jesus prays to his Father. He prays about the future church and he prays about the unity of the church. Look at chapter 17 of John, verse 11. Jesus prays, I am no longer in the world, but these... Jesus is talking about his disciples. Jesus is talking about the future church here. He says, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those who you have given to me, that they may be one. Here's this word, one, this word unity. Look at verse 21 to 23, that they all may be one, that they may be united, in other words. Just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us. The prayer of Jesus was just like Jesus and God the Father were united in purpose and in unity in bringing salvation to humanity. The prayer of Jesus that those of us that come to believe in Jesus Christ and become Christians will be baptized into the body or united to the body of Christ. And that we would be just as united as God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is into one entity. That is the prayer that Jesus had. And if Jesus was so concerned, the day, the night before he was going to die, to this whole chapter 17 of John is the prayer of Jesus. This is the longest prayer of Jesus that we have. We read oftentimes in Scripture that Jesus would spend all night praying. But this one record here, this one chapter, gives us a glimpse of the prayer of Jesus. And the main focus of this prayer is the unity of the church. So Jesus was very, very interested in this. And unity is the result of all these other words that we have looked at in verse 2 and verse 3. And unity is a very characteristic and an attribute of God. It was the unity of God, God the Father's plan before the foundation of the world to choose whom he would save through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that we celebrated last Sunday by the power of the Holy Spirit that now unites us all into one. And our job as Christians is to work hard and to give all our energy and everything we have to preserve and to keep and to hold this unity. In other words, to walk united, to walk as one person. The unity of the church, when the church is united, the church can do great things for the Lord. The church can have a great reputation when it is united, when it's purposeful, when it's out reaching into the community with the gospel. But when the church has disagreements, when the church is not united, the world notices. The worst testimony of the church is when it is not united. And Jesus prayed for it. Unity sets the church apart from the world. The world has no unity. Every country, every city, every nation, every state, every individual going down the freeway wants his own way. He wants to cut you off and be in front of you. He wants to go to the store and get in front of you. When you go to DMV, he wants to get in front of you. Nobody wants unity. Nobody wants peace with the next person. Everybody's concerned about himself. Unity talks about having a concern for your brothers and sisters, and it's demonstrated through lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering and love. But this unity is what binds it and ties it all together. Paul goes on in verse 4, 5, and 6 and describes seven characteristics of unity, which we'll look at in future weeks. But interesting here, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Notice that this unity comes from the Spirit of God. It is a spiritual quality that we are supposed to demonstrate and have in our life. And it comes from the bond of peace. Here's that word bond. Here's that word that in the Greek language means a rope. If you take one little stick, you can break it very easily. But when you take a bunch of sticks and you tie them all together, it takes a strong man to break it. Or it takes a special tool, a saw or an axe to break it. But all tied together is a demonstration of the unity of the church, all of us put together. And what ties us all together is this bond or this unity or this rope of peace. The world has no peace. The world has peace conferences. The Secretary of State goes to Israel and tries to get Israel and the Palestinians to get together and sign a piece of paper that says we're not going to kill each other. That's the world's demonstration of peace, but there is no unity or peace that binds them together. It is only a characteristic that Christians have. It is a characteristic that the church has, and it is because we are in Christ. What Paul has been talking about in Ephesians, and it is what the Holy Spirit does in our life. When we have peace with God, remember chapter 2. Paul wrote about, at one time we had no peace. At one time we were far from God. At one time we had no peace with each other. And at one time we had no peace with God or with the world. But now God has brought us all near. God has made peace between us and himself. And because of that, we have peace with each other. And we can be united as a result of that. And what does Paul say? Paul says in verse 1, I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech you, or I beg you, skip down to verse 3, to endeavor. What does this word endeavor mean? Endeavor is a project. Endeavor is a goal. Endeavor is a job. It is something that we are called to do. This word in the Greek language talks about eagerness, to have a desire for this. Take a test this morning. Do you have a desire for unity in the church? Is it something that your heart longs for? This word also means to haste, to do it quickly, to not wait a long time to do it. Don't say, I will be peaceful and united with you tomorrow or next week or next year. Today, now. This word talks about making a great effort, making this your life's job, the job God has called you to do. As Christians, this is what God is calling us. And so Paul is writing, and he says, I beseech you, endeavor, work hard, make this your goal. To do what? What are we supposed to do with unity? Right in the middle of this verse here, he says, keep the unity. This word keep is very interesting. When God created Adam and he put him in a garden, he says, keep the garden. Solomon talks to his son. He says, my son, keep your heart. It talks about building a fence around yourself, around your mind with the word of God. Keep the unity. Work hard at it. It is your job. It is your responsibility. When you stand before God, God will ask you. You will be accountable to God for whether or not you kept the unity in the church. And so this morning, how did you come to church? Did you come with a united heart to worship and glorify and thank God? Or did you come to see your friends and to talk to each other? What is the purpose? Why did you come? What is your goal today of being here? Is it to learn from the Word of God about this characteristic that is supposed to be written all over our faces when we come here? Or when we go outside, that the world would see it? My question to you today is, are you doing your part for the unity of the Church of Hollywood today and for the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world? My prayer is that it would be, and that your walk would be progressive, it would be measurable, and it's something that the world could see. May God bless His word. Amen.